This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Beltway Blitz on the Nationals, the NBA, and the Commanders coming your way in the minutes ahead. All of our Commanders conversation about training camp brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. I am in our Half Street studios in the nation's capital, four blocks from the center field gate. Danny is enjoying himself at the beach, multitasking with a little work in the afternoons. Let's get to the Blitz, shall we? Matt Weirich, NBCSportsWashington.com, joins us now. Matt, why don't we begin with a thought on playing the Padres 7 times in 10 games. That's a lot of Juan Soto, man.
It's a lot of Juan Soto when we weren't expecting to see a lot of Juan Soto so quickly. Definitely a bit jarring for Nationals fans to already be forced to endure two basically back-to-back series of their former star in another uniform, but I guess that's just the way it goes.
What do we make of C.J. Abrams so far? Obviously, you see the athleticism. It's really, really exciting. But I don't know if he's totally a finished product just yet. Probably unfair to ask him to do a ton here at this level with this little seasoning for this bad of a ball club. But there's reason to be excited, yeah?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the tools are obvious. His speed looks electric. He seems like a tough player. You know, somebody who plays with a lot of energy. You know, like you said, it's a little bit too early to expect results here at this point. He's one of the youngest players in the major leagues right now. I believe one of the bottom 10 in terms of age at this point. So, you know, any kind of expectations have to be tempered until he can get adjusted to the major leagues and kind of grow into his stature a little bit. He's a pretty skinny guy out there.
The Joey Meneses story has been amazing. And in a season where they've been few and far between, it is certainly a reason to check out the Nats every night at this point. What do you make of what this first-time big leaguer is doing as a rookie at 30 years old? He's hitting about 350 now through 50 at-bats.
It's so impressive. I mean, for a guy waiting this long to finally get his chance, he has taken a hold of it and really running with it. And, you know, at 30 years old, you're not really talking about him as part of the Nationals' future core or anything right now. But, you know, just to see him doing what he's doing, it's super impressive, a great story for baseball, and just kind of shows, you know, all these awesome stories, even amid a losing season like the one the Nationals are having, but good things can come out of it.
Matt, this is not a good question. I just kind of want your thoughts on this. I'm a Luke Voit guy. I've always kind of liked the dude from afar. I feel like he hits nukes and is going to strike out 2 trillion times, but he knows who he is. He, you know, he's like a muscle-bound, huge orc just bursting out of his uniform. Seems like he's a very likable dude and maybe a nice little anchor piece as they hopefully transition to being somewhat decent here over the next couple of seasons.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems like every clubhouse he's been in, his teammates fall in love with him. Padres fans were noticeably upset that he had to be traded in the Soto deal. I don't think they would have taken it back given that they got a phenom like Soto in it. But certainly they were disappointed to see Voit go. You know, he brings pop from that right side. It's definitely an impressive player in a lot of ways. And they have him under control for 2 more years. So whether or not the Nationals decide to flip him at some point or continue to have him hold down that first base spot, either way, I think it's a plus for this team.
What's he got against top buttons?
Hates him.
Hey, I mean, I respect it. When you got the chest hair to pull it off, I'd say why not?
I mean, I've seen guys not button the top button. He doesn't button the second or the third button either. And it's a lot of chest. And then he's got that gold chain too. Bryce Harper used to do this thing where I would swear he would like iron his shirt so that it fell open just so that he could show off a little chest. But Luke Voit in that 34 jersey is taking it to another level.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting some Ryan Fitzpatrick vibes for sure from that guy.
I could see that. Absolutely. Appreciate you, Matt. Thank you, buddy.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime.
NBCSportsWashington.com is how you can get a hold of us. All right, let's keep it moving. Talk a little hoops. We'll get to the Wiz in a second because we got some jersey news. You know Danny wants to weigh in on. But let's start with the latest on Kevin Durant. So I don't know how much of this you've been following, but you had Kevin Durant come out and say that the stories that he was going to retire were completely false. But he's still at odds with his head coach, with his general manager, and it sounds like maybe even his owner who has taken their side. How do you think this ends, Danny?
I think it ultimately ends with him staying in Brooklyn and some sort of compromise is reached, and maybe they trade somebody else or otherwise. It's one of those things where he realizes, and this is, you know, one of the flips, the other side of the coin when it comes to player empowerment, right? Where you get these guys that know they're so rarefied, they're so unbelievably good that everybody has to do whatever they want all the time because they're more valuable than any other combination of players, a coach, a general manager, or otherwise. So they're going to have to cater to Kevin Durant's whims, and I ultimately see him staying in Brooklyn because I don't know that they'll get a package back that maybe is what they want. But, you know, listen, I'm wrong about these things consistently and constantly.
I don't want to be hypocritical because while I feel like improved as I've gotten older at this, I do think that in general athletes have to find a way to be less fixated on everything going on their social media. And Kevin Durant is just incapable of that. I don't know if you saw this, but the father of Amon-Ra St. Brown and Equanimeous St. Brown, the NFL wide receivers, was on Hard Knocks. He's like their trainer. He was a former all-world weightlifter, basically. He was like the last Arnold Schwarzenegger or something like that. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, he was literally Mr. America, Mr. USA, whatever it was. But long story short, he was asking them in the gym, he's like, when do you think the last time Kevin Durant did calf raises was? That's why he tore his Achilles. And it wasn't correct, I'm sure. But then Durant responded to him and said, today was the last time I did it. Like, stop caring what everybody says. He just cares too much. He has the thinnest skin. He's got very small legs, and he's got very thin skin.
I think it's a pretty good summary. Because at a certain point, it went from playful and like kind of fun, where he would like actually say something and go back and forth with somebody, and you go, well, that's cool. He's just like us. And then it became, he's Googling his name. He's got like, you know, alert set up anytime Durant is mentioned, and he's Mr. Petty Paws. It's just too much. It's too much. Just make baskets, dude. You're the greatest scorer ever to walk this planet. They don't make seven-footers that can do what you do. Just put the ball in the hole, win a bunch of games, and go to the Hall of Fame, please.
Now let's talk some hoops with our buddy Chris Miles of NBA TV. So, Chris, why don't we begin with who else is on the get-off-social-media team in the NBA? If Kevin Durant is the team captain, who else needs to make that roster? Chris, you there?
Yeah, I would put LeBron James on there for me. As much as I love LeBron, every time LeBron tweets, I go, no, not now. Especially these last couple of years when he like missed the playoffs and was out early. I'm like, okay, LeBron, we hear your voice all the time. We've seen you in the finals for almost a decade straight. Like, please, I don't want to see you tweet that some player for the Minnesota Timberwolves made a good move in the third quarter of a game.
Where does Donovan Mitchell end up?
New York, right? Every time I see that there's a package that could be put together for him, I'm like, 8 draft picks. That's what the Knicks have to offer. And I think they've been going back and forth all summer. But, you know, Utah, they're saying they do not want to move him, that they move Rudy Gobert so that they can keep Donovan Mitchell. So I think those are the two destinations. Either he stays in Utah or he heads to New York.
You just mentioned LeBron yesterday, Chris. 2 years, $97.1 million extension for him. He now surpasses KD for the most money ever earned in contracts. What do you think of his new deal? Most of this is all always a formality with him.
You know, I keep saying about LeBron, like, well, in year 21, do you really want to pay him that amount of money? Or when he's, you know, 39 years old. But honestly, I didn't think he would still be playing at this level now. I thought he would, you know, be the kind of guy that started to turn into a role player. But here he is leading the league in assists, last year or 2 years ago, you know, averaging 30 this year in year 19. So I guess when a guy, you know, plays at that level, you extend him to 3 or 4 years until he's in his 40s.
Yeah, it's just incredible. I mean, I think he made $4 million as a rookie, and he's going to make 50 in year, whatever it is, 21, 22, kind of as you said. Let's get to the Wizards here locally, Chris. I'm wondering which one of their pieces outside of their quote-unquote big three, and there's a huge amount of quotes around those names here, okay? But outside of Porzingis, Beal, and I guess maybe you'd include Kyle Kuzma as kind of that other guy in the big three, who is somebody that they might be able to dangle in trade to get a legit asset back? Who's somebody that somebody else wants?
It depends on what you're trying to get back, because I think the incomplete grades are Rui Hachimura and Denny Avdia. I think those are two guys that other teams look at and they go, well, if they were with us, they'd have a defined role and they'd develop in a certain way. I think those are the two guys that still would intrigue other teams. I think Johnny Davis in Summer League, I think all the value that he had as a lottery pick was taken out, and that the Wizards are going to have to develop him before anybody's looking at him yet. So I would say those two guys, to me, are the intriguing factors, especially you got to make a financial decision on Rui, that teams might go, you know, if I had that guy, 6'9", 6'10", versatile, I could use him better than the Wizards are using him. I think those are the two guys that teams might give up an asset for.
Chris, I'm sure you saw this. The Wiz announced this past week that they are celebrating 25 years since they dropped their Bullets moniker and went to the Washington Wizards. And so they're kicking it old school, and they're going to wear throwbacks to the old Wizards jerseys. Now, people hated largely when they changed their name and the look, but they're not going to wear the teal, I don't think. It's going to be the white with the blue. And actually, I got to be honest, I don't know if it's just enough time has passed that now even something that wasn't cool has become cool. But the jerseys might have been tweaked or touched up, but they look pretty nice. What'd you think?
I thought, wait, those jerseys are old? Like, that's the first thing I thought. I'm like, okay, so John Wall is wearing the jersey. That's not a throwback jersey, okay? That's not long enough to be a throwback jersey. That was my initial reaction. And I kind of thought, like, the newer design that they have was kind of a throwback to the Bullets days as far as the design. So I just think that time needs to pass. This team needs to build some history and, you know, have some depth in the postseason before we start doing a throwback thing with them. I was not in on it at all. And I'm not knocking a jersey. I mean, I actually like the Wizards' current jerseys now, you know, not the throwback ones, but the regular ones. So I just think that in order to have that feel good and the throwback and this, that, and the third, you got to make the conference finals. You got to at least make it to the NBA finals for people to be nostalgic about your team.
Chris, thank you as always, buddy. Appreciate the time.
All right, guys.
Talk to you soon. Maybe they could throw it back to actually being named the Bullets. Let's hit that Commander sounder. My buddy Matt Paris, Washington Times, covers those Commanders. That's why he's joining us on the Beltway Blitz to talk about those Commanders. Matt, all of a sudden, you got a banged-up offensive line and some thinness in the tight end room in terms of injuries. What's going on? Give us the latest.
Yeah, it was so bad today that linebacker Nathan Gary was playing tight end for a little bit on the scout team. He went over to the other side of the ball and was wearing one of those jerseys you put on just to show that you're with a different unit. And that's how bad it is. And I think it's really going to affect the playing time. You know, Ron Rivera would like to play the starters a half on Saturday against the Chiefs, but I think it's going to prevent him from doing so. They're just too banged up on the line, and we'll see how much they actually play.
Yeah, how could it not? I kind of came to that realization with what he was saying as well, because he kept saying, I'd like to play them a half, but injuries are going to dictate. Well, there's your answer. So I guess then the question is, how long do you think they will play based on what they're dealing with?
Yeah, I went back and looked at what Ryan Fitzpatrick played last year. He played 23 snaps in the second game, and he played 14 snaps in the first game. So, you know, maybe it's the inverse of that. Carson Wentz plays 22 snaps in week one, and then week two, maybe they just play 14, which is, you know, a drive or two. I don't know. I mean, maybe they go the full first half, but they're really banged up on the interior right now. They're missing the three guards. And so, you know, I don't think Carson Wentz will see a lot of playing time.
Yeah, how concerned should we be about some of these injuries on the interior of the offensive line? They made some moves at guard this offseason, and right now those guys aren't playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, Trey Turner's been out pretty much for the whole camp. We don't really know what Andrew Norwell is dealing with. First it was a vet day, and then he seemed to have a vet day for now 3 days, 4 days in a row. So that's adding up. And Wes Schweitzer, you know, Rivera sounded a little concerned the other day about his hip. He landed awkwardly on it, and he hasn't practiced since. So, yeah, I mean, it got so desperate the other day, they were putting Sam Cosmi at right guard just to see how it looked in case they needed to actually use that look come the regular season.
Matt, how about the other side of the ball? Andy Reid has said that Pat Mahomes and the first-string Chiefs offense will play likely the entire half. If that's the case, it could be a great opportunity. They're a little healthier on defense to get some run for those guys, especially after it wasn't, you know, great first drive, a lot of third downs converted against that group last time out.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I mean, that is a great way to test your defense and especially the third downs. But then again, if they do well and you know, get off the field for in a drive or two, maybe Rivera just taps it there. It just kind of depends on how they do. I mean, you think about the first game, they brought the offense back out there for that third drive because they hadn't done well the first two, and the second drive was cut short because of Gibson's fumble. So, you know, if Rivera likes what he sees, maybe he pulls him earlier, but it does present an opportunity to have that run if that's what they want to do.
Who needs to play well? Like if Terry McLaurin is a bad game, that won't matter. He's still Terry McLaurin, and he's great. Who needs to have a good game to, either to kind of enhance their standing or to solidify themselves? Give me some guys you're keyed in on here this week.
Well, I think the number one option is Antonio Gibson. You know, can't have the fumbles again. We've seen him doing special teams work in practice. Is he actually going to play that, you know, this week? Are they going to toss out at during a game? I think he's number one for me. A couple other guys I think could use a really good game is De'Ami Brown. He's had a really up-and-down camp, hasn't really made a lot of plays, even though he had a nice catch today. And I think another one I'm curious on, and this is more maybe of a positive, is Jamin Davis. You know, I think he's kind of starting to come along and has had some moments in practices. Seems like playing closer to the line of scrimmage has really helped him. And can he carry that momentum from practice into a game? That's kind of, you know, what I want to see.
Matt, thank you, and we will read your work in the Washington Times. We appreciate you, buddy.
I appreciate it.
Matthew Paris with us here on our Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. At 5 o'clock and 40 minutes, Mike Jones of USA Today Sports is going to stop by. And at 5:25, we'll look back at the first couple of years since Jason Wright was hired. How much progress has he been able to make as the team president? But next, 4:25, right here on Grant and Danny, how would you handle the running back duties against the Chiefs on Saturday, and what should Ron Rivera do about the depth chart? Robinson, McKissick, Gibson, and divvying up carries here in August. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are closing in on the second preseason game for the Commanders, just a couple of days away. And while, yeah, there's one more after this, this might be it, honestly. Are you really going to, in the final preseason game, ask for your starters to do much of anything? We did see that there were some teams around the NFL last year with now only having these three exhibition tilts instead of four. There were teams that asked guys to play, but you're talking about a drive or two. You're not going to get a whole lot done. You're breaking a sweat. You're looking for something positive. You're getting off the field at max. And I think there's going to be way more teams than not in the league basically shut all of their starters and everyone that they're comfortable with making the team and have a role carved out for already. They just shut them down. Tell them don't even worry about playing.
Yeah, it's more typical. I mean, the way that this used to be, I'm going decades ago here, is guys, you know, in the off season are moving refrigerators, smoking cigarettes, you know, doing next to nothing, sitting at home. Then they need to play themselves back into shape with two-a-days and, you know, all sorts of other violence at camp. And you need all those preseason games. Well, the trend has been steady downhill in the exact opposite direction. It used to be, well, guys don't play in the first one and then the fourth one, and they barely play in the second one. The third one's a dress rehearsal. Now they're cut down to three. So this is pretty much it here. As far as I'm concerned, special circumstance notwithstanding, a guy that's rehabbing or something like that that hadn't gotten any action yet. But you're right, there aren't many more opportunities.
What should Ron Rivera do at running back on Saturday? That's the question we want you guys to answer, and we are opening up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for you right now. They're wide open at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. If I was Ron Rivera, I would have Brian Robinson start the game. And I would let Brian Robinson work with the first team. Now, that first team is not going to look like it should, really. And frankly, it might not even be fair to Brian Robinson if this is his big opportunity behind this makeshift, really average offensive line that is littered with backups. But I still think I would have him get whatever first team reps are this week, whatever starters you're down and missing, you can't control that. He would be the first guy out of the tunnel for me, and I would give him a couple of series. And if he runs real well behind this makeshift line, I think that's telling. If he doesn't, I'll go back and I'll dissect and figure out, was it the line? Was it a backup who struggled? Was it Brian Robinson missing things? But I think you need the most information possible to make the decision as to who your best running back is. And I do feel like I've got a couple years of information on Antonio Gibson. And while I'm leaving open the possibility that he has improved and he's a different guy after the offseason, I've been evaluating him in practices constantly. And that evaluation led Ron Rivera to be very candid and angry and upset with his running style after preseason game one when he lost a fumble on his second carry. So I would start Robinson. I know it could create a story. I know it's going to make everyone talk about the running back situation more than you would need people to, and more than maybe he'd prefer. He's going to get grilled after the game. But I don't care about that. I care about fielding the best 53, putting together the best starting lineup. So I'm giving Robinson a shot to see if he could take the job.
Did you somehow hack into my computer and look at my notes? I legit thought I had a bit of a hot take, and I was a little bit nervous to throw it out there for fear of causing controversy. Word for word, that's what I think. I'm now past the – I don't. This is not Kumbaya. This is not my high school team. This is not some sort of prep youth league thing where I want to make sure that Timmy feels good and Keegan gets a snack. I need to go win a whole bunch of football games. I'm going to field the best 53, please, and thank you. I need data points on Brian Robinson immediately. I have plenty on Antonio Gibson. I saw what I needed to see over the last couple years, and I saw what I needed to see in that first preseason game. I know what I have, and what I have is useful. What I have can help me. What I have is somebody that, when called upon, will do just fine. I think that's what he is. I think he's a pedestrian NFL running back who is very much just okay. I may have something else in Brian Robinson. I need to know ASAP. This is my best chance to do it. Although, as you said, to be fair, this is a makeshift offensive line, it sounds like, at best. So, you know, but as many data points as possible I can get on the rookie, I'm taking them.
So two things on that. First, I wonder, and I'm just thinking out loud, putting my Rivera cap on here as Grant Rivera. I wonder if it would make more sense if I am going to play my starters for a drive or two in the third preseason game. And Rivera would have to know this. I don't. But he's got that planned out, presumably, already. He's not deciding next week if they're going to play. You map all that stuff out well in advance. You know, Mike Shanahan used to have each day of camp in a binder a month before the thing started, and all the preseason planning, all that stuff was done before the guys even showed up and put the pads on. But if I know that I am planning on playing my starters at least a little bit in the final preseason game, then I wonder if it makes more sense to allow the status quo to continue as is, where you've got Gibson first and second downs, McKissick third downs, Robinson in the role we saw him in the last preseason game against Carolina last weekend. And then when you actually get your look-see at him with starters, you do it next week when more guys are healthy. And that way you get a more authentic view of what he is. Because if he plays this week and he's playing behind, and again, they're getting reps at tight end from their linebacker they signed from the Eagles a couple weeks ago, Nathan Jerry. If that's where we are, then I don't know how true a look that is for Robinson. And if that's your big evaluation on what he is, might not be that authentic to the player. So would it make sense to just wait and see him in a week if you're going with starters for a drive or two and you give him both of those drives with the ones? I would almost rather do that to give him the best chance possible to succeed. That's your job as the coach. But I don't know if they're going to plan on playing starters. And I guess if you're not, then you don't have a choice but to throw him in there this week.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I know it's not ideal, but nothing ever is. Right? I mean, you know, I think it was Mike Tyson.
But wouldn't you say there's like not ideal and then there's bad? And this is actually bad.
Yeah, it's closer to bad.
I think there's probably going to be two of their real starters on that line maybe come Saturday.
But then am I now going to make all my starting linemen play in preseason week three just so I can get a good look at Brian Robinson and get somebody's backups?
No. I said if your plan is to play them for a series or two as it is. Again, my point is he decided all that weeks ago probably. If you're planning on playing your ones for a series or two in the final game, then I would play Robinson then. If you're not, well, don't change all of your plans for a running back. No, that would be ridiculous. I'm not saying to do that. I'm just saying if you're already planning that, okay, now he's my starter in that game and we'll let Gibson have this game. But if you are not planning on playing these guys, then you don't have a choice. It's now or never.
I don't know. I mean, to me, I think any plan that you had didn't include not having a guard. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's what they sat down and wrote down and mapped everything out. I think you kind of have to adjust and do the best you can with it. But I guess I see your point. I mean, to me, I'm going, I have NFL caliber linemen. I know Sam Cosby is going to play out of position, maybe, but maybe I'll run to the left a couple times. I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is I don't care right now about Antonio Gibson. I know what I have. I'm stashing. I would stash. I would tell him, I said, you're standing on this team. It's set. We got you. I know you're down a little bit right now, but you're our guy. We need you, et cetera, et cetera. I'm getting as much data as I can on Brian Robinson. And maybe I need to know. Maybe I need a blown up play that he goes for 2.5 yards. Maybe I need to see him make somebody miss that should be tackled for a loss and he gets 2 or 3 yards out of it. I don't know. I'm not going to derail that with my best chance. I still think this is your best chance to find out the most you can about Brian Robinson against NFL starters.
Well, it's true, too, that to that point, you can learn a lot from a bad performance. I mean, you can learn a lot from throwing him to the Wolves knowing he's going to have 7 carries for 11 yards. But yeah, if he breaks 4 tackles or if he gets back to the line of scrimmage twice that should have been -3, you can figure some things out by putting him in a poor situation, adverse circumstance. I think there's maybe something to be said for that. That's a good point. One other thing I'd like to say is that the preseason should be used to get guys ready for the year, obviously. That's number one. But for me, what I care about with young players is to figure out what they are and to really learn truly what guys can and can't do. And what I want to see this week is I want to see a couple of screens and a couple of passes to Brian Robinson. I also want to see him asked to hold up in pass pro against a team that's going to blitz. You know, and this is the dress rehearsal, right? The Chiefs are playing their starters for a full half. So get him out there and let him try to pick up an oncoming linebacker and see if he can, you know, plant an anchor and be stout. Get him out there at times when you know maybe they're going to go to some type of pretty advanced regular season zero look or something where they're bringing some heat off of an edge. As many of those situations as you can put him in, the better. But when they threw that screen to him, he came in, he ran for 9 yards with a nice little shift at the line of scrimmage, made a little cut. And then the next play was a 9 or 10 yard screen where he was a little bit off balance and his plant foot was still on the ground, flat footed. He went up the ladder, made a hands catch. I was really impressed because it's not something he's been asked to do a lot at Alabama, but I would just love to see a couple more of those types of looks out of the backfield, because if he could catch the ball a little bit and pick up and pass pro, then you could kind of just write his name down in Sharpie as a guy who can help you a whole lot right away. I mean, in September at that point.
I want to see a little swing pass. I want to see a little, you know, a choice route. I want to see chemistry with Carson Wentz. I mean, all of it. I am in on everything that you just said. And again, deal with some adversity. Deal with things that aren't ideal, right? Because that's going to happen. I mean, every year we get to the end of the year and you go, do you remember that time that You know, Kirk Cousins was meeting offensive linemen, you know, Thursday morning, and that they were starting on Sunday. Do you remember the time that half the team had COVID against Philadelphia? I'm just saying, crazy crap happens in the NFL. I want to find out about this kid as much as I possibly can. So I am giving him as many reps as he can and until he's tired, and then we'll figure something else out.
Let's go to Rockville and talk to Spencer on Grant and Danny. You can give us a call at 800-636-1067. What are your thoughts on the running back position, and what should Ron Rivera be doing?
Thanks. So I think, you know, Robinson comes in like a certified car, right? You know he's a professional running back. He's done it. You've got the tape. You know what he is, and you've seen it in practice. I don't want to know about him. They've finally got to a point where they know that, you know, Gibson is a wide receiver that they drafted as a rookie and tried to make him into a first and second down back, and that's not working. So I need to know who's behind Robinson. You know, I want to know what Jonathan Williams, Patterson, whoever else on that roster can actually step in if Robinson is hurt as your first and second down back, because you're probably going to have to pick somebody else up.
So you're going way down the depth chart to RBs 4 and 5. I mean, the beauty of the preseason is that you get that look at those guys.
That's
now,
right.
It's later in the game, obviously, and frankly, it's when a lot of people, even listening, the diehards maybe are half paying attention or may not care as much, but you do get that opportunity on Saturday, and you will continue to over these next 2 weeks, a couple different games. You also had last regular season. I loved what Jonathan Williams gave them. He averaged 4.6 yards per carry last year, which was over a half yard per carry better than Antonio Gibson, by the way. He had 17 rushes. He also caught a few passes. He had 4 grabs on 6 targets out of the backfield. And I always thought he showed up really well in games, and I was impressed by him, frankly. End of the season, Jarrett Patterson had a game where he carried the ball 12 times and he caught 4 balls and he scored a touchdown. So when those guys have gotten chances, they've acquitted themselves well. If we say this with quarterbacks a lot, Danny, if you get to a point where your RB1 is Jonathan Williams or Jarrett Patterson, you know, the plane has kind of crashed into the mountain at that point as it is. Like, you're not going to be getting great production from the running back position. So I don't know how important it is to find out, what do I have at RB3? What do I have at RB4? He's just kind of brushing past Robinson as if to say he was great at Alabama, he's going to be good.
So now we know.
That's not quite good enough. I mean, there is a great track record, right? If
sure.
Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry and Eddie Lacy before he ate himself out of the league. I mean, it's hard to find Alabama running backs that missed. I'm trying to think of the guy from the Lions who's massive, who was in the Alliance of American Football.
Oh, it's going to kill
Scarborough?
Me.
I can't remember his name. Is that
Bo Scarborough, yes.
Like, that's the last guy I can think of out of Alabama that didn't hit. So, yeah, there's a good chance Robinson's good, but I don't think we know that yet. Like, you got to use pencil right now on him. We have very little info.
No, all we have are small amounts of data points. I like what I saw, certainly. And here's the other data points. He didn't fumble in 600 touches or so at University of Alabama. A very important data point, especially considering the competition. So, yeah, I like what I've seen so far. Am I ready to, you know, put him in Canton or the Commander's Ring of Fame? Of course not. But, you know, I like the idea right now of him leading the competition. I want to see more, though, and I think the team should, too.
Should there be a competition for the RB1 job? 800-636-1067 is the number. Should Gibson be the starting tailback going into the season, regardless of what happens in these mostly meaningless games in August? We're asking you that right now on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines on Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
I would say yes, but I think to me, the way I've interpreted the actions of the last few days, I'm sure you guys have talked about it a lot, where he's been working with not just the first team, but the second and the third team, plus getting special teams reps, that, you know, I think they're saying, hey, look, you're still our guy, but the patience is thin, especially since we have this other guy in Brian Robinson, who, you know, Brian Robinson has not played a single NFL game yet, but, you know, based on what we've seen in practice and in the preseason, he can be a pretty consistent option for us. And he's also known to hold on to the ball, something that Gibson obviously has had issues with. So, I think it's important to remember also, last year, they benched Gibson a couple times in games when he had these fumbles. So it's not like this is completely out of the blue. So that, you know, he's really going to have to show up the fumbling, but not just that. You know, Rivera talked that he needs to run harder at the line of scrimmage, not just dance around as much. And yeah, if he doesn't start doing that more, they do have another way to go. And
I think that's an important part of this. That was Ben Standing of The Athletic, who was with us earlier in the show here on Grant and Danny. If you missed that interview in our update from training camp, make sure you go grab it, thefandc.com. When we are done, you can podcast that interview and all of our conversations about camp, brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. But Ron Rivera critiquing how Antonio Gibson runs and the actual style with which he runs, I thought was a big deal post-game. He seemed to be more upset about that than the actual fumble itself. So that was, to me, a real look into how they're feeling about him. I mean, you don't get that kind of candor individually calling out specific players to the point where I was sitting in the room and he's talking to the media after the game and he says, "Now I'm telling you this so that you'll remind Antonio," which I just found was a really weird thing.
So strange.
Let's go to Clarence in District Heights. Clarence, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
What's going on, Grant? What's going on, Danny? How y'all doing today?
Hey, buddy. Good man.
So I wanted to comment on Gibby, man. I think, I know he has the fumbling problem, and like I was telling the guys behind the glass, I mean, he can fix it, man. The Tiki Barber can fix it. Why can't he? And I think a lot of people forget, if it wasn't for Gibby last year, you know, the back end of the season, our offense wouldn't have been much. So, you know, I just think he's kind of catching they're giving him a hard time, man. And I think we should ease up on him a little bit and, you know, give him a chance to fix it.
I agree with that largely. Thanks for the call. I guess here's the question, though, and here's my issue if I have one. What is he hanging his hat on right now? Okay? He has durability questions because he got hurt 2 years ago and he played through a lot of injury pain and stuff last year. Wasn't 100% for stretches. He fumbles more than anyone in the league. We have talked about analytically, Danny, that he is one of the lowest rated, and among regulars and starters, full-timers, the lowest rated running back in terms of what they call like RYOE, rushing yards over expected, what you're expected to get based on blocking versus what you do. So you could say analytically he has struggled to get the yards blocked for him, plus he fumbles, plus he's had some durability questions. So it's more than just the fumbles. I mean, there's a lot to this, I would say.
Yeah, you go through a stretch down, you know, second half of the season when everything's kind of spiraling for the team. Five of out of seven games, he doesn't have 4.0 in terms of yards per carry. It's 2.67. It's 3.6 in a loss to Dallas. Not special. He ran roughshod over the New York Giants at the end of the season, and it kind of changed the eye line on some of his numbers. That was just to get to below league average, where he had 146 yards, if you remember, in that meaningless game against the Giants at the end of the year. There are way too many. And listen, you know, the stats and numbers are accumulated in different ways. Some guys are super consistent. Some guys are up and down. But there are way too many, you know, 12-for-30 type games against the Buffalo Bills for me to be terribly excited about him as a dynamic runner.
All right, let's go to Bobby in Warsaw on G&D. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you today.
Too, buddy.
Got question, and I got a comment about the running backs. My question is, if you don't mind, when Heinicke got intercepted in the last game, the announcers initially said something about they hit his arm or hit him as he threw it. Is that the way it was, or did he just plain miss a guy?
No,
over
he
his
did.
Head?
He got hit and kind of.
I thought
of,
he got hit.
Yeah, he got grabbed up high and it kind of pulled him in toward the defender, so he wasn't able to kind of get through his pass.
Then why on the internet is there so many comments? Oh, he just messed up and all that. It to me, that was it wasn't right to give him that much.
Bobby, if you're looking for reason, insanity, and legitimacy and incredible takes, the internet is not the place to start, my friend.
I can't fix the internet for you, Bobby. I can't.
I don't know if you know this, but people have a lot of theories about a lot of important things that they talk about on the internet that are not correct. Mm. Yeah, everyone's an expert about things that they don't know a whole lot about on the internet. Jerome's in D.C. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call. If you can me for 1 second, I think Gibson is getting an absolutely raw deal because the mentality of a running back and the mentality of a wide receiver are totally different. The condition of a person's body that's a running back and the condition of a wide receiver that's used to the battering and the bruising is a raw deal. So, yep, he was hurt for a couple of years. Each year he got injuries, but his body wasn't used to that. So if we get to a point where we acknowledge this man was a wide receiver and we're trying to transition him mentally and physically into a running back, I think then we'll be a little more understanding. But to couple that, I think we should go ahead and acknowledge that he's a wide receiver. Before we break this man's confidence, let's go ahead and put him back in his position in a dynamic stance and then imagine this offensive setup set on the field. We got Gibson in the backfield. We put McKissick in the backfield. We got Jahan Dotson. We got McLaurin. And then we got Samuels. And then we got Logan Paul. We got our tight end. So we set that up, and we got two running backs that can come out of the backfield that can catch the ball. It's dynamic. You now have a setup where you set this man to be dynamic. He's a strength in running, a strength in passing, and he also can do kick returns. Let's use him appropriately and stop dogging this man that we tried to put a square peg in a round hole, and now we're dogging him because his body and his mind just haven't been there. He's getting there. Use him properly, and I think we'll do a lot better.
Well, appreciate you, buddy. Yeah,
love
he has
the call.
Not necessarily thrived yet in that way, and he's maybe been underutilized. 52 targets last year, 42 catches, so a high ratio of receptions for 294 yards. Averaged about 6.9 in his career as a receiver out of the backfield on his catches. I think we're all acknowledging, I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm well aware that he was a wide receiver in college and that he's transitioning to running back. I guess my point is that doesn't really matter anymore.
Right. Yes, it's hard.
If Brian Robinson, absolutely, who is a great running back at Alabama, is better than him, then that's what I care about. Then play that guy.
Right. It summarized very well.
Antonio
he had a ton
Gibson
of drops last
being
year, too,
a college wide receiver. I'm not giving him an extra year and just letting Brian Robinson watch him because Brian Robinson played running back in college, you see, so it doesn't matter. Who's the better running back, period?
If this is a 3-14 team that's rebuilding, by all means, let's continue the experiment. But that's not the rhetoric this year. You don't go get Carson Wentz to go 3-14. They're trying to win. So this is no longer about egos and, let's grade him on a curve. We don't have time for that anymore is the point. If your point is it's really hard to go from wide receiver to running back, my hand's going to go up. Yep, co-sign that. It is really hard. I'm no longer about the, hey, this is a novelty. This is a production thing, and we got maybe somebody who could be more productive. We don't know yet. I happen to think that way, that Robinson would be better if given the same number of carries than Gibson, but I'd like some more proof.
96 targets over the last 2 years. I am surprised that they haven't thrown it to him more because I think most of us assumed when they drafted a college wideout they were converting to running back.
He'd be great at
that
it,
he was
right?
going to be this shifty open field guy who caught a ton of passes and, this Alvin Kamara-like figure. And then we watched him at camp, and he had added muscle and weight, and he's a mauler. I mean, he's a 220-pound dude. He's 6'2", 220. He's kind of like a Derrick Henry size type profile more than he is an Alvin Kamara. So it doesn't look anymore like a wide receiver. So maybe that's all part of it. I don't know. Mike Jones was in Ashburn this past week, and I actually caught up with him at FedEx Field over the weekend at the game. Want to see what he thought about his trip to camp, the conversations he had with coaches and players. We'll get a little national perspective on the Commanders from Mikey from the USA Today next right here on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.